bag of love, a pissed off liberal named Fart Cop, and he brings you Fart Cop Radio.
Headline, Jackson jury to hear other allegations. Judge rules testimony on five incidents admissible, to which I scream objection. Now, I know the weak need of you listening think that I'm pro-Michael Jackson, but if you think back, all the things like this that we argue about, I'm pro-evidence. I didn't like it when they railroaded Scott Peterson into prison, and I don't like it when they're doing this to Michael Jackson. If he's guilty, fine. Let's hang the guy, let's shoot the guy, whatever we have to do. But can't we make sure he's guilty first? In a setback for Michael Jackson, the judge in his molestation trial ruled Monday that jurors can hear from witnesses who allege the millionaire acted inappropriately with five children during the 90s. The judge said he'd allow nine witnesses who allege past sex offenses and a pattern by Jackson of grooming or preparing boys for molestation. You know, Bill Maher, before he turned Nazi, and I'm not willing to give up on him completely yet, but the son of a bitch seems to be a foot behind Dennis Miller when it comes to political realignment for financial purposes. But he put it pretty well when he said, maybe Michael Jackson didn't have sex with these boys, but he was certainly dating them, and who can argue with that? The idea of having a bunch of boys over for a party when you're in your late 40s and they're seven, that's not real smart. And there's one of these ladies alleges that her kid was molested three times by three different occasions, three different dates by Michael Jackson. I mean, why does the kid keep going back? If he doesn't like Michael Jackson's hands in his pants, if that happened, well, quit fucking going over there every chance you get. What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with these mothers? 10 years ago, they knew Michael Jackson had been accused, yet they jump in their little SUVs and they run right over there and say, here's my boy, see you in a few weeks. And oh, lo and behold, Michael Jackson's maybe got some money, so let's all file a lawsuit and see what we can get out of it. The witnesses include an alleged victim who received a $2.4 million settlement in 1993 from Jackson, the mother of that witness, and the mother of a second alleged victim who got $20 million in 1994 from the pop star. So perfect. Here's $20 million. We settled this, right? Right. We all agreed it's settled. Well, now that I've spent the 20, let's talk about it. Let's call a news conference. Let's make me a star. Maybe I can make some more money. Maybe I get me a cover on People Magazine. Maybe I get on 60 Minutes. Maybe that whore Diane Sawyer will talk to me. God, this is so... You know, I'm so old. I remember when past convictions weren't allowed in the courtroom. If you've been convicted of rape twice before, the prosecutors could mention that to the jury, that he'd been convicted twice before. Now, anyone that thinks they saw a woodchuck is invited to get on the stand and apply for membership in the million-dollar Let's Fuck Michael Jackson Club. It just doesn't seem right. Continuing, Jackson was never charged in those incidents. Well, gee, I wonder if it was because there wasn't enough evidence. Witnesses also include former employees at Jackson's Neverland Valley Ranch. At least one will testify about seeing Jackson engaging in misconduct with Macaulay Culkin. So why didn't you pick up a goddamn phone and call 911 and say, we got a crime in progress, would you get the hell over here? The idea that this guy or these people, they witness a crime in March of 93 and they decide 160 months later to mention it. Apparently a while back, and you know how I am with facts, a while back, maybe 97, a bunch of Neverland employees got together and they told a story that they saw Michael Jackson doing the nasty with some kids. And Michael Jackson sued them and he won. I don't know if it was defamation or whatever, look it up. But he won $1.5 million from the former employees who the judge ruled had lied. And they filed bankruptcy, so now they don't have to pay a penny under the old rules. But it looks like everybody's got to make a buck off Michael Jackson. And is he weird? Yes. Is he guilty? Maybe. Why can't we be sure he's guilty? You know, is there any evidence I don't know these days. Everything changes and I'm an old man, but does a 10-year-old ejaculate? I don't know. When they talk about evidence, the idea that I think I might have saw something, that's not evidence. I'm sorry. I don't care how serious the crime is. You may be thinking you might have saw something. Ought not to ruin a man's life and put him in prison forever. And he's going to die in prison. He's going to die the first 5 days he's mingling with these other, you know, if he's not in solitary, well, there's a good idea. Let's put him in solitary for the rest of his life because someone thought they might have seen something. This 10-year-old or 12-year-old or whoever, if they leave semen at the Neverland Ranch, well, I don't know. How does Michael know what the kid's doing in his bunk, in the other room, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, what man can speak that another man has not molested himself, as they called it on Friends? So I don't know. Do they have boy semen that they're going to put in as evidence? It makes you wonder. Now, if these kids, well, I don't know, even if these kids go home with Michael Jackson semen, I don't know. You know, it just kind of makes you wonder. What happens when if you're at Michael Jackson's house, you go into Michael Jackson's bathroom, and you rifle through Michael Jackson's underwear from yesterday? There's always a chance you got your nocturnal emission, et cetera, et cetera. And I know these are stretching points, but, you know, there used to be a thing called proof. So do they have any DNA evidence? Nobody knows yet. That's going to come out in 2009, in the fourth year of this stupid trial. You remember when I said, I don't remember if it was the last radio show or the one before, but everything is designed to drag on until the end of time. You watch. Terry Schiavo, she's going to be alive for another 18, 20 months. She will not die. It's just going to go dragging on forever and ever. It'll never stop, never, ever, ever, ever stop. She's going to hold the record 700 days without food or water. You watch. But more on this evidence. If there's any real evidence, wouldn't it be nice if it's, you know, for instance, they keep saying Michael Jackson got the kids drunk. Well, gee, what's the evidence for that? Did the kids wake up Saturday morning feeling woozy and they said, I must have got drunk? Or did they just go home saying, Mom, my stomach hurts? And did Michael Jackson give you drugs? Did Michael Jackson get you drunk and molest you? Is that what happened? I don't know, Mom. Well, I'll bet it is. How would you like a new house and a new tricycle and a new car and live at Disneyland forever and ever? All you got to say is Michael Jackson molested you. Okay, Mom. Let's talk for a second about some Jesus juice. Now, that's a cutesy name. Some Jesus juice. That makes him a priest now. He's molesting him in God's name. So we got to throw... Oh, no, that's right. We don't throw the book at priests. This Jesus juice, who can testify? If Michael... If one of these employees stood there and watched Michael Jackson get a kid drunk, why the hell didn't they call 911? It seems to me that everybody who witnessed something and didn't call 911 is an accessory, and why aren't they charged with something? This all gets back to that crazy Winona Judd who knows for a fact what Clinton did with Monica. Well, bitch, if you saw him molest her, why didn't you call the police? These people that witness crimes but don't pick up a phone makes you wonder if a crime was committed or if they thought it was a crime at the time. Maybe after a couple of sessions with Tom Snedden, their thoughts turned into crimes. But, all right, back to this Jesus juice. If the employee saw Michael go and pour some whiskey or some wine or some vodka or something into a glass and hand it to a child, they should call the police. Now, if they saw a kid drinking out of a cup that they think might have smelled like alcohol, well, that's not evidence. That's a suspicion. If they saw a kid, I think one of them said that Jackson put wine in a 7-Up can. Well, you know, was it cherry 7-Up? If you see red in the 7-Up can, does that mean that Michael Jackson needs to spend the rest of his life in solitary? All I'm asking for is a little bit of evidence. Are we going to see any evidence? They're going to call Macaulay Culkin, they say, as a witness. And he's going to say, nothing ever happened with Michael Jackson. But someone else, allegedly, is going to testify that they saw Macaulay Culkin and Michael Jackson doing something nasty. So why the hell didn't they call 911? Doesn't it make anyone else suspicious that all these crimes... If I see a crime, I call 911. I haven't done it that many times in my life, but every time I've seen a crime... Well, outside of a drug crime. But every time I've seen a crime, it's just natural. You see a whole lot of blood on somebody, you call 911. You see a guy fall off a roof. You see a car wreck. You see a man laying in the street. You call 911. That's just what you do. And the idea, if Michael Jackson was molesting all these kids for all these years and nobody ever called 911... then it seems like they should be charged as accessories. All right, moving on. Prosecutor Tom Snedden said testimony would show incidents raising from ranging from the prosecutor said incidents the prosecutor said testimony would show incidents ranging from kissing and hugging to touching the boys. Fuck. Prosecutor Tom Snedden said testimony would show incidents ranging from kissing and hugging to touching boys inside their clothing and outside. Jackson is also charged with giving the boy alcohol and conspiring to abduct, falsely imprison, and extort the boy and his family. You know, you put a family on your private jet and fly them to Disney World, yeah, they're being abducted. There's no two ways about that. You know, I was once abducted by Frank Broyles, the athletic director at the University of Arkansas. It's true. I don't know why, but I was getting off, I mean, I know why I was getting off a bus, but I took a bus to the Fayetteville bus station, and I don't know, I can't imagine him taking the bus. Maybe he was there to pick someone up. But anyway, he looked at me and said, "You a student?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You need a ride to the campus?" I said, "Yeah, fuck, you're Frank Broyles. You're not a child molester. I'll get in your car, sure." So he drove me back to the campus. But if you look at it that way, he kidnapped me. I was imprisoned in his car. I couldn't leave. I was being kidnapped. Oh, God, call the police. Little sidebar here. I don't think George Lopez or Jay Leno are pedophiles. Both of them either have, well, George Lopez has testified. What did he testify? He said he visited the boy while he was in the hospital being treated for cancer and gave him presents. Lopez said he broke with the family after the boy's father accused him of stealing $300 from the boy's wallet. Now, George Lopez, it'd be my guess, is a multimillionaire. He's got a weekly show on ABC. He's not going to go steal $300 from some cancer kid in the hospital. But this family, they're nuts. Lopez said he called the father an extortionist, asking for money. Jay Leno said the same thing. He hadn't been under oath yet, but as much as I don't think Jay Leno's very funny, I don't think he's a pedophile. I don't think he's in cahoots with Michael Jackson to form a rape ring like the Bush family is. Jay Leno said the same thing. He said this lady had grifter written all over. This was an extortion attempt. He was real clear. He said, you know, he met the family a couple times, whatever, took them somewhere, met them somewhere, did something with them, and he said it was all about the money. And they kept pressuring Leno, can you get your other showbiz friends to give us money too? And he's going, give me away from you people. You people are creepy. But none of that matters because they found a bunch of people who are willing to get on the record as saying Michael Jackson's a bad man so they can get him a check. You know, see a big difference here. When you accuse Bill Clinton of something, everybody starts writing you big checks. You become a star. You're on every network. Fox gives you your own show. It's an eternal party. It's an eternal merry-go-round. The rest of your life's taken care of. If you accuse Michael Jackson or some other people, maybe it's the same way, but oh, you accuse George Bush of something and suddenly your guilt drives you to suicide. Now, isn't that amazing? Funny how his daddy being the head of the CIA and that family now being the evil empire that controls the planet and have billions or literally trillions to lose if the truth were to get out. And funny how the Bush accusers end up dead and the people who accuse black people or Democrats, they end up getting big, big, big checks because the media loves a story like that. Media doesn't love a story that Bush's hooker showed up inside the White House on camera officially with a White House pass that you have to get by Homeland Security and the Secret Service to even consider being in the room. That's not a story. But someone who's broke would like a few million. Remember that son of a bitch Ken Starr combing Arkansas trailer parks looking for anybody with a claim. Please, anybody. Are you sure Clinton touch you? He didn't rub his hand on your thigh or your titty or nothing? You sure? I got some checks here I could write you. You sure he didn't do that? That's on one side. And on the other side, we got dead people in Arkansas hotel rooms because they had a fax given to them by Karl Rove. Just pretty sad dealings here. And I'm not saying this is all conspiracy. Michael Jackson's a goofy guy. I think everybody knows that. If Michael Jackson's guilty, then put him away. But can we at least have just a little bit of evidence? Am I asking too much? A bunch of hearsay from a bunch of people looking to be rich, I don't think is evidence. Makes me sick. Does it make you sick too? About the guy. new Rolling Stone, and well, that's not true. As you know, we moved recently. And if you work for the post office, just forgive me, you know, just let me get away with this, okay? But the stupid bastards at the post office, they held our mail for 6 weeks. And I think they mentioned that, I think they said they were going to hold it for 30 days, which makes you wonder why. It didn't take us all 30 days to move, probably close. But anyway, after we've been here 6 weeks, I went outside and there's, 200 pieces of mail in the damn mailbox. I missed a day, one of those days last week where I didn't publish because I had a whole fuckload of cutoff notices and past due notices and a whole lot of things that just had to be taken care of right away. Plus, with two houses, there's two phone bills, two electric bills, two gas bills, two everything. And, what is wrong with the post office? Does it really take them that long? Anyway, my Rolling Stone with Hunter Thompson showed up. And a little sidebar on Hunter Thompson. As you know, when someone passes, they always talk about the good stuff, and it's weird to hear people talk about Hunter Thompson. Maybe I'm jealous, because they say he just got away with everything. They said, like Jan Werner, the head of Rolling Stone, would write something like, I hired him in March of 73 to write this. 2 years later, he wrote back and said, I need more money, I need more time, I need more drugs, and he called me in the middle of the night and kept me up for 3 hours, rambling on about stories that didn't make sense, and he was cursing and screaming and yelling, fuck everybody, and here it was 3 a.m, I'm trying to get some sleep, and Hunter, every time I gave him more money, he'd say, I'll finish it tomorrow, and then he never would, and then he'd send me 25 pages that were all jumbled up and didn't make any sense. Boy, he was a great writer and a good friend. And it was a little hard to understand that he was... A lot of people said he was a crazy, obnoxious, self-centered, nutso bastard. Oh, and they just all loved him, and I like him too. I'm not trying to get down on Hunter Thompson. It's just, I'd never read eulogies that spoke so poorly of a man before. A couple of things I saw in that issue of the Rolling Stone. As you know, my good friend David Rees, who does the Get Your War On comic strip, his production's been down a little bit, but then Rolling Stone hired him, probably throwing massive amounts of money at him. And why work hard for King Universal Syndicates, whatever that is, when you can work barely for Rolling Stone? David, I understand. So he's got this column in the Rolling Stone, this comic strip, I mean. And here's what it says. The title is Get Your War On by David Rees. Then it says, you know what I just realized? I bet every so often these Rolling Stone readers who are currently deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan get tired of reading obnoxious criticism about their mission and their commander-in-chief. So this issue, we're going to take a little break. It's basketball time. So he's going to pee on basketball, which I'm all for, but I just don't understand the joke. Okay, here's the guy on the phone. What happens to the Jayhawks? They're tanking like the Fallujah real estate market. And the buddy he's talking to says, hey, as long as Duke's hurting, who cares? My team could be 0-24 as long as Duke is -1-23. I'm surprised the uniforms don't have little collars to turn up like James Spader in a John Hughes movie. And then the final panel, the original fellow says, ah, yes, good old Mike Krzyzewski, the Henry Kissinger of men's basketball. Now, I don't get it. I guess I know Mike Krzyzewski is a coach for somebody, and I'm going to guess Duke, since this apparently he hates Duke. But to me, Duke basketball is just like the Palestinians in the Middle East. I don't care. If the Palestinians and the Israelis want to kill themselves for the stupid sand, fine. I ain't got a dog in that fight. I ain't got any kids going to die over there. It's okay with me if they want to endlessly kill each other. Same way with Duke. If Duke wants to get in some hated rivalry with some other basketball team, I don't care. But it just gets in my way when I'm trying to do a humor thing here when I don't know who Mike Krzyzewski and why he should be compared to Henry Kissinger. What, did he get a few hundred thousand Chileans killed? Is that why? Rock radio no longer rolling. Stations dump rock format as audience declines. Hopefully this will come after my original Napster rant, but rock radio is dead. It's just as terrible as it can be. You know, lately, I mentioned there previously, I quit listening to the classic rock because I've got every one of those songs. I've got every fucking song they play on those stupid radio. I bought them in 1970. I have all that stuff. They play Aqualung, then they play Whole Lotta Love, and then they play Won't Get Fooled Again, and then they go back to Aqualung. What is wrong with them? They don't want to be a radio station. They want to go off the air. It says here, before midnight on February 24th, Y100, the last modern rock station in Philly, played the final notes of Pearl Jam's 1992 breakthrough hit, Alive, then faded. When they came back, they were beat. The Beat, Philly's newest hip hop sims. Fucking read much. When they came back, they had become The Beat, Philly's newest hip-hop station. In the past 6 months, three other major market rock stations have folded: Washington, D.C., Miami, and Houston. They're all going down the tubes, and it's the record company's fault. They get the same bands, the same cookie-cutter crap, with names that nobody can remember. When was the last time a band came out with a name you could remember? It's always Five Doors Down to Charlotte's House and I Hurt My Foot. How are you going to remember a name like that? You go to the record store and say, something about a foot in a house. I don't know. But the worst thing is the music. It's terrible. It's horrible. All the new bands, they all suck. And it's not that I'm old and I'd hate all the new bands. If a new band comes up that's good, I'll like them. But they all suck. They suck so bad that nobody will play any of their records. And so they think the only good records, and they may be right, came out 30 years ago, and we're all tired of them. Lately, I've been listening to the damn hip-hop station. That's where I heard that 50 Cent record. Take me to the candy shop. You're going to suck my lollipop. You know what's even worse about that song in the video? He points to his cock. He's going, hey, bitch, suck the lollipop. It's like, dude, you know, when I was a kid, they used to mention, you know, the Beatles said, please me and I'll please you. That was, you know, you do mine and I'll do yours. But these days, it's, hey, bitch, suck the lollipop. That's a love song in today's world. At least the hip-hop world. And the, well, this new station I've been listening to, it's the hits, you know, so it's half the hip-hop people own the pop tunes now, so half the songs are Kelly Clarkson and Gwen Stefani, and the other half is the hip-hop guys. What they do, they play the same 15 songs again and again and again. They start at noon, and by the time they get to, well, say 1:30, they've gone through the 15 songs, so they start over. So any time at all during the day, you can turn it on and hear. If you like one of those songs, you can hear your new favorite song in the next 15, 20 minutes. It, in a way, it's convenient, but the bad news is after you listen for a week, you've heard all those songs 50 times, and you're ready for something else. It's all fading. Fucking rock and roll's going to disappear unless they do something. And what we need to do is get the record companies and these old fat white guys that know everything, we need to get them out of there. We need to get let this peer-to-peer file sharing thing, let that take hold. Let that go somewhere. That'll make some... Rock and roll's dying. We can do something about it now. We can wait 30 years to start. I know we got bigger problems than the death of rock and roll, but it's a Rolling Stone magazine. So what am I going to do? Besides, if rock and roll was still alive, would they have to put Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan on every cover of every Rolling Stone? Say it! She called up and burst it down, and you say you belong to me. At least my mind, imagine how the world would be. So here we are, so happy together.
Looked at all options prior to taking the action we took last weekend in concert with Congress, and we felt like the actions taken with Congress was the best course of action.
Notice how he keeps reminding you that any action that was taken with Congress. He didn't want to have anything to do with Terry Schiavo. They tied his hands. Congress made him do this. He didn't want to get involved. He didn't want to fly back to D.C. in the middle of his vacation to save that woman. It was Congress that made him do it, meaning Tom DeLay. He's trying to shift all the blame he can on to Tom DeLay in this big Schiavo mess.
This is an extraordinary and sad case.
You can't see it, but there was a big smirk right when he said sad case, as though, hey, I was able to say that without screwing it up. Check me out.
And I believe that in a case such as this, the legislative branch, the executive branch, ought to err on the side of life, which we have.
He did it again. He just smirked real big when he got done with that sentence. You'd think as the years go by, somebody would tell him, hey, Muttonhead, you look really stupid up there, smirking like some third grader who farted in church. What's wrong with you? Knock that off. You'd think they could put a wire around his big toe or something and put him behind the podium in practice, and every time he does one of those stupid smirks, press the little button and give him an electrical shock. He's up there dealing with life and death. This lady's on the final hours of her life, and he's up there smirking.
And now we'll watch the courts make its decisions.
The courts, plural, make its singular decisions, plural. My God. Did you pass second grade, you moron? This is how you get into, is our children learning? And the question is, how many hands have I shaked? How could Bush learn Spanish if he has no control at all over his English? The monkey can't put a sentence together. If you gave him a week and a dictionary and a computer, he can't put a sentence together. He can read as the years go by. He's learned to read a little bit better. But if he's left to his own devices, the words that pop into his head have no association with the other words in the sentence. What a monkey.
I want to empower people. I want to help people help themselves, not have government tell people what to do.
I love the tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch, the breath they grow on trees, and streams of bacon ranch dressing flow right up to your knees. There's tumbleweeds of bacon and cheddar paves the streets. You get the veg all day, all the lotto tickets pay. There's a king who wants you to have it your way. That's the tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch, the tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
Come and get it.
You know it's got to suck being Hootie of the Blowfish? I remember years ago, they asked my good buddy, hopefully to be Shirley, why she called her band Garbage. And she laughed. I think she was drunk. And she said, because Hootie and the Blowfish was already taken. I think that's so funny. But poor Hootie. Here he is. I mean, you got to pull for a young black brother. But at such an early age, I don't know, he looks like he's 30 or less, but and here he is in his mid-20s, and that stupid song that always hated, whatever it was, it shot to number one and stayed there for like 12 years. What was the name of that stupid Hootie song? Anyway, I don't care, but I always hated the song. I always thought it was stupid that it went to number one and just stayed there like a pope. And the poor bastard hadn't had anything on the charts since in his whole career. I mean, you know, it must be awful to have real big, big success early, and then just nothing all downhill after that, like Macaulay Culkin is another good example, but poor Hootie. I thought one of the funniest things I've seen lately was the Boondocks cartoon where it showed a picture of Hootie standing there in this horrible getup. I mean, please, for Hootie's money, I wouldn't put on that outfit and let you take a picture of me. But here's poor Hootie on TV. I guess his agents and handlers and whatever, they came to him and said, dude, we got to get your name and your face out there because you're nobody and you might not ever be anyone again. So, hell, Burger King's going to give us $500,000 for you to play the fool to get out there and play Step and Fetch It in front of the whole country. And I know it's terrible, but at least you're still in show business and it is $500,000. And Hootie's going, okay. So Hootie cashes his check. And anyway, so the Boondocks, the Boondocks cartoon says they show a picture of Hootie standing there. And the little kid says, maybe it was only supposed to play in Japan. And funny how it's kind of like a Star is Born thing, if you remember either of those movies, where as Hootie, the poor guy, as his career is crashing to the earth, like there was an Al-Qaeda pilot at the controls, along with him is Brooke Burke, who is still on the ascension. Funny how two people can be in the same commercial. Hootie, it just looks sad and pitiful. But there's Brooke Burke, the supermodel, swinging on a swing in the background. At the end, she says, come and get it with a smile, like she's in on the joke. Maybe Hootie is in on the joke, but it doesn't look like it. Hootie looks like he's wearing a chicken outfit in front of, you know, he's standing on the corner in a chicken outfit saying, come eat at this restaurant here. I mean, that's what it looks like. Maybe it's not. But it just looked poor, Hootie. Got so big so fast. And as he's crashing, we all have to watch. That's real sad.
You're listening to Bart Cop Radio. Because if you are watching Bart Cop Radio, it gets you bored.
The best that I can.